Our Heavenly Father, we pray that this morning you would help us to grasp a really magnificent vision of the Son of God who speaks to us today. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Last summer, 11-year-old Lewis was nervous and anxious about starting secondary school. He was a big Liverpool fan, so Lewis turned to the man he trusted for help. He wrote to Jurgen Klopp, the Liverpool manager, sharing his worries and anxieties. To his astonishment, Klopp wrote back a long personal letter sharing his own experiences of anxiety and how he responds to them. And we can understand why Lewis framed that letter and put it on his desk. Now, when he's anxious, he can read and hear again the words of his hero, Jurgen Klopp. We all need, don't we, people we can trust and look to for advice and wisdom. But wouldn't it be great if we could hear from God himself? Don't you sometimes find yourself wishing that God would speak to you? I certainly do. We long, don't we, for a word of encouragement, of advice or wisdom, a word of love and reassurance and hope for the future. Perhaps sometimes we'd even welcome a word of rebuke or correction to refocus, realign our lives. Well, if you long for God to speak to you, listen to this. God has spoken, and he has spoken to us. God has spoken a personal word to you and me today. As the letter to the letter of Hebrews begins, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. In the past, God spoke through many different prophets at many different times and in all kinds of different ways. And he spoke to our forefathers, the people of the Old Testament. It was a huge period of time that God spoke, and he spoke through people like Moses, Samuel, Elijah, Jeremiah, Joel, Ezekiel, Zephaniah, and so on. And he spoke in all kinds of different ways. Sometimes with a clear and audible voice. At other times through dreams or visions or inspired songs or psalms and once even through a donkey. And all of that took place over many, many years. But all of it was preparatory. It was an introduction to the main event, the coming of the Son of God. All that God had said in so many different ways pointed forward to the coming of his Son. And now the Son has come. And in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. These last days are the days between Jesus' birth and his return to earth in glory. So it's today, it's now. It's in these days that God has spoken to us, to you, to me, to the whole world. And he has spoken by his Son, Jesus Christ. He hasn't spoken in any other way. He has spoken to us through Jesus, his Son. Because you see, even in the Old Testament, all of those messages, all of those prophecies, all of those words from the Lord pointed to Jesus. But now Jesus has come and he has spoken And he is God's final word. There is no more to be said. There is nothing more to add. We must not look elsewhere for the truth about God. There is nowhere else to look for the truth about God. We don't need more visions, more dreams, more prophecies, more words from the Lord, because God himself has come and spoken to us in person. And what a person the Son is. Unsurpassed in greatness and power and glory and authority. And these next verses heap up the magnificent characteristics of Jesus into a mountain of shining glory. First, this Son who has spoken to us was appointed heir of all things. So everything, the whole universe, is for Jesus. You and I, we are created for Jesus. That means that God will make good on every single one of his promises. In the end, everything will be good. All will be well. Because Jesus will have everything. Now, this is really important, isn't it, for us today in these days of uncertainty, especially about the future. You see, you and I can speak, the government can speak, but we and they can't guarantee anything. Yesterday, for example, I said to Sarah that I was going to pop out to the shops, to Tool Station, for a couple of things I needed. I got in the car, nothing. The battery was flat, dead as a dodo. If I can't even prophesy my trip over to the industrial estate, what power does my word have? My plans are thwarted by something as stupid as a flat battery. But when the Son of God speaks, it will happen. The end is therefore guaranteed. Our future is therefore secure. No one else, no one can say a word to stop our future with the Son of God, because his word is final. But this Son was also the one through whom God created the universe. Not only is he the goal, the end of the universe, the end of everything, he was its beginning as well. And how did he start it all? By speaking a word. Everything was made by him and through him and belongs to him. And if everything was created through the Son by his word, he himself cannot have been created. He is the eternal Son of God. And then this Son who has spoken to us is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Jesus isn't merely a great teacher or a prophet. He doesn't just speak with his mouth. His whole being radiates godness. Look at Jesus in the manger. Look at Jesus with his disciples. Look at Jesus with his enemies. Look at Jesus on the cross. Look at Jesus raised from the dead. Look at Jesus and you see God's love writ large. Look at Jesus and you see God's justice and fairness. Look at Jesus and you see God's compassion and God's anger. Look at Jesus and you see the pure, radiant holiness of God. As Tim Chester says, all the glory of God is packed into the person of Jesus. So, in the end, everything will come to the Son. And in the beginning, everything was made through the Son. And so we shouldn't perhaps be surprised that he sustains all things by his powerful word. Now get this. If Jesus stops speaking, we're gone. We disappear. Along with everything else, we cease to be. Poof! Gone. We are completely and utterly dependent on the Word of God, Jesus Christ. We are nothing, literally nothing, without his Word that sustains all things. But there's yet more glory to amaze and thrill us, because this Son of God also provided purification for our sins. This mighty, glorious, all-powerful, creating, sustaining Son of God gave you and me, gave the whole of humanity life and love, beauty and pleasure. Everything good came from him. And we threw it back in his face, thinking we didn't need him. So he came after us, calling us back. He didn't abandon us. He came after us. And when he did that, we spat on him, mocked him, lied about him, whipped him, and nailed him to the cross. And yet, such was the height, depth, breadth of his love that he suffered all this for our sakes, to give us purity and forgiveness of our sins. As one of those ancient prophets had said, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. But of course, death could not hold Jesus. No, we read, God raised him from the dead, and now he sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high. All of this was foretold when God spoke at many times and in various ways through the prophets, and all of it is fulfilled in Jesus the Son, who now sits at God's right hand in the place of all authority and power over all things, waiting for all things to come to him. This is the word God has spoken to you and me. This is God's word to us today. Finally, we hear that this Son is as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Now, I know that sounds a bit strange to us, doesn't it? Why bring angels into it? Well, for the people who first read this letter, the angels were the highest beings. They were in heaven next to God himself. And yet, says our writer here, the angels are just God's messengers. That's what the word angel means, messenger. They were bringers. They were the postmen of God's word. But the Son of God speaks God's own words. The Son is God's word. God's words originate with the Son. He doesn't speak on behalf of God. He doesn't merely deliver God's word. He speaks as God. When Jesus speaks, God speaks. So, do you want to hear God speak to you today? God has spoken in his Son. So look to Jesus. God communicates with you. He speaks personally to you in the Jesus of the Bible. As author and church pastor John Piper says, God is not an idea to be thought about. He is a person to be listened to and understood and enjoyed and obeyed. He is a speaking person who speaks that we might know him and love him and live in joyful obedience to him. God has spoken in his Son. Are you listening? Chapter 2 reminds us just how critical it is to listen. Let me read to you from there. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation, which was first announced to us by the Lord? We say we want God to speak to us. He says, I have spoken in my Son. Are you listening? Are you reading my word that I have given you, the Bible? Or do you prefer the newspaper, or the magazine that's just been delivered, or the latest John Grisham novel? Is it sometimes hard to understand the Bible? Yeah, sure, it certainly is. I've been reading it now for, 42 years or something. Do I still find it difficult at times? Yes, absolutely, but it's worth the effort. Because I'm listening to the Son of God in Scripture. We have to put a little bit of effort to understand the glorious complexity of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But as we do so, the Son comes to us with a great salvation. It is the greatest madness, the greatest sin of humanity, to ignore the word of God spoken by the Son of God. God has spoken his full and final word in his Son. There is no more for him to say. Are you listening? Our Heavenly Father, please, would you give us ears to hear? Would you give us the desire to hear from your Son? Would you give us, please, the desire and the will to pick up our scriptures, our Bibles, and read and to see what they are saying about the glory of the Son? And then, as we see him, may we come to him. May we come to him in joyful worship and praise, bringing with us the complexities and the problems and the sufferings of our life, and coming to him and seeing that he will bring this all to an end, to his end, as the heir of all things. And it will be good. It will be wonderful. All will be well. Under Jesus, your Son. Thank you so much for this hope. In Christ's name. Amen.